Matthew chapter 26, verse 1 to 16. Matthew chapter 26, verse 1 to 16. When Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, "As you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified." Then the chief priests and the elders of the people assembled in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and they schemed to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. "But not during the festival," they said, "or there may be a riot among the people." While Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. "Why this waste?" they asked. "This perfume could have been sold at a higher price and the money given to the poor." Aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman? She has done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for my burial. Truly I tell you, wherever this gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her." Then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and asked, "What are you willing to give me if I deliver him over to you?" So they counted out for him 30 pieces of silver. From then on, Judas watched for an opportunity to hand him over. If the Lord were searching today at Hapjeongdong, Mapo-gu today, for people to begin his public life of teaching, where and who would he call upon? He will call upon among those who are diligently living their everyday lives and serving their place of life, like those who are working in restaurants, cafes, convenience stores, or in offices, as he had done 2,000 years ago. In the four Gospels, it records Jesus calling his disciples as he started his public teaching life. When Jesus selected the 12 people, he did not search them by level of education or experience. Not only did he not consider the merits of each individual, but he neither considered age or appearance. Jesus paid attention to those who were near in Jesus' radius of life and saw who were faithful in their place for life. He called on Peter and Andrew, who were fishing, to follow him. He also called on Matthew, who was sitting in the tax registry, to follow him, but there are disciples who the Bible does not describe how Jesus called upon them. There are disciples such as Peter, James, and John, who the name is mentioned various times, and who are deeply involved in events. But there are also those such as Bartholomew, Thaddeus, and Simon, the fervent member from Canaan, who are only mentioned in the list of disciples, and no more. Yet, how frequent the name appears in the Bible, or in what situation the disciple was initially called by Jesus, is not important. The 12 called on were the only people in the history of mankind to have spent the Lord's public life with him. What is important is that they were witnesses of Lord's suffering, the death on the cross, and the resurrection. Furthermore, what is more important is that they were served in the same way that Jesus had personally trained them, for the Lord's word to spread to the end of the earth. Matthew chapter 10 records what Jesus said after he chose the 12 disciples, and before he sent them to spread the gospel. Let us read from Matthew chapter 10, 34 to chapter 11, 1. "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace onto the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to turn a man against his father, a daughter against his mother, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies will be the members of his own household. Anyone who loves their father or mother more than of me more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves their son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Anyone who welcomes you welcomes me, and anyone who welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet as a prophet will receive a prophet's reward, and whoever welcomes a righteous person as a righteous person will receive a righteous person's reward. And if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. After Jesus had finished instructing his 12 disciples, he went on from there to teach and preach in the towns of Galilee. Before Jesus sent his disciples as missionaries, he shared words of warning or advice with what kind of mind missionaries should do this work, and that what they will receive in return will not only be glory and reward, but that suffering and hatred would also accompany them. The disciples, after they were called, were educated directly from the Lord of what a missionary's life should be like. It would have been a life that they could not have possibly thought of previously in their life periphery. And through this process, the disciples grew as a carrier of the word. The four Gospels record failing and frustrating experiences of the disciples. However, through the process of failure and frustration, the 12 people grew up to be the 12 disciples. They matured into a special force unit that Jesus personally trained. They drove out evil spirits, cured illnesses, and they bonded more tightly after Jesus' resurrection. Only one sentence is enough to evaluate a person's life. This is shown how the Bible remembers them. Cain is the first murderer in the history of humanity. Abraham as the forefather of faith. Rahab is a foreign prostitute, but someone who placed her name in Jesus' ancestry. We remember Nehemiah as someone with statesmanship and leadership. Jeremiah as a prophet of tears. Hosea as a prophet of love. Stephen is the first martyr. Cornelius as a first foreigner to be baptized. Achaia and Priscilla as a couple that served the church as one body. And Ananias and Sapphira as a couple that deceived the Holy Spirit. In today's scripture, there are various types of people. These people are chiefs of priests and elders of the people. Mary, who prepared Jesus' funeral by pouring a very precious perfume over Jesus' head. And Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12 disciples, but betrayed his teacher and thus was eliminated from the list. These are the sentences to introduce or describe Judas Iscariot. The one who sold away Jesus, Judas left to go where he belongs. He was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to put what was put into it. It would be better for him if he had not been born. He was trusted to the point to be put in charge of Jesus' and the disciples' finances, but in fact was a hypocrite and a thief. The fact that Judas Iscariot was given such a responsible role shows that he was a man with the best administrative abilities among the disciples. He was so trusted within the community, yet as he immersed himself with his calculations and greed, by his own choice, he selected the life of someone who sold his teacher for a mere price of a slave. While the 12 disciples could not make the smallest bond of empathy with Jesus, who is facing death on the cross, Mary put forward love, faith, courage, and devotion. Only Mary, the one person who kept to her heart Jesus' repeated words of his death on the cross, could participate in the Lord's time in death. When Mary poured the perfume over him, Jesus said that it was in preparation for his death. And he continued to say that her deeds will be remembered everywhere the gospel spread. This was a moment that Mary's love, faith, courage, and devotion would be forever remembered in history of Jesus Christ's salvation of mankind. But at that very moment, Judas Iscariot found the opportunity to turn over Jesus and visited the chief priests. Verse 14, then one of the 12, the one called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and asked, We can infer that the act of Mary pouring perfume over Jesus ultimately became the reason that made Judas betray Jesus. Each frequent time that Jesus talked about his own death, Judas Iscariot would have been dissatisfied with his teacher. It is not recorded in the Bible, but each time Jesus foresaw his own death, Judas Iscariot may have thought about ways to reach the chief priests, who were eager to capture and kill Jesus. We cannot know how Judas Iscariot reached out the chief priests and bargained with them. However, in order to sell his teacher, he acted directly, without hesitation, and without consciousness to how it would appear to others. In the end, Judas Iscariot's hand that took the 30 pieces of silver from the chief priests were no more, no less than the hands of a traitor, filled with greed and who willingly deprived himself of the position as one of 12 disciples, the gospel missionaries. There are many opinions on Judas Iscariot's selling of his teacher by 30 silver coins. First one is that he betrayed Jesus because of his disappointment in Jesus. He followed Jesus, thinking that Jesus will bring independence to the Israelites. However, as it became more evident and factual that Jesus chose the life of the cross, he realized that his expectations were not being met. At that moment, his devotion to Jesus, the person he followed in his despair, turned to hatred, and thus ultimately determined to kill Jesus. The second is that by delivering Jesus to the chief priests, he was trying to force Jesus to save the Israelites by pushing him to a corner. However, we cannot know for sure why Judas Iscariot betrayed his teacher. Only that while he had the chance to turn around, he could not bring himself out of his own calculation, greed, and own self-being, and thus finally chose the path of betrayal. In the book of Matthew, there are 5 preachings of Jesus recorded. For each preaching, it ends with an ending phrase of, Jesus finished saying. But in chapter 26, verse 1, after his last and fifth preaching, the ending phrase has an additional part in plural form, all these things. This emphasizes Jesus finishing his work on earth to teach and to now be sacrificed on the cross, walking towards his mission of an ultimate priest. Passover is closely related to Exodus. God, who blessed Passover in order to save Israel people, groaning under the oppression of Pharaoh, made Jesus to be the final Passover lamb in order to introduce the new Passover through his only son and new era of salvation. Right before Israel's biggest festival, the Passover, and right before Jesus' approaching death on the cross, the ones that were plotting Jesus' arrest and killing were chief priests and elders of the people who were in positions of power and privilege. And they were by far the most educated and intellectuals of God's law. But they were too focused on the form of the law than the essence of it that they could not recognize the completer of the law, Jesus. Chief priests is a position that represents the Israel people. They oversaw all related to sacrifices and were given the role to representatively undergo the ceremony by entering the holy sanctuary, asking for forgiveness on behalf of the whole Israelites on the day of forgiveness. The role of chief priest was passed on to Eleazar from Aaron, Moses' brother, and it was an office for life. However, after being taken as prisoners of Babylon, the role's characteristics started to change. And by the time that Jesus was teaching, King Herod and the Roman government appointed chief priests arbitrarily for political reasons and not to Aaron's offsprings. Chief priests that were appointed by the Roman government for political purposes were given authority in administrations in and around the temple and in trivial matters, but for important decisions, they had to be investigated by Rome. Caiaphas's chief priest position, recurring in verse 3, was by Jewish law illegal. This is because Jewish law stipulates chief priest as an office for life and hereditary, and yet Caiaphas's father-in-law, Ananias, was still alive. In Luke chapter 3:2, it states Ananias and Caiaphas both as chief priests. The only reason that this was possible was because after Rome invaded, Romans arbitrarily selected religious leaders of colonized countries as those they could easily rule and often change them for political purposes. The fact that there were more than 28 chief priests that were changed from BC 37, when religious autonomy was first lost, to BC 67, when the temple fell and the last chief priest was appointed, shows how politicized the chief priest position was. According to customary practice at the time, to call all the members of the family where the chief priest was from chief priest, Ananias and Caiaphas was both called chief priests, and it is speculated that Ananias, the father-in-law of Caiaphas, would have had influence even after his own resignation from the position. Israel people in Jesus' time had to live in hardship under the command of the Syria governor, paying off large amounts of taxes. For people who were suffering for a long time of oppression, Messiah was perceived as a political one, a being that would bring independence to the country. However, in the eyes of religious leaders, Jesus in front of them was not someone that was blasphemed, was not only someone that was blasphemed of blasphemy, but someone who should rightly be killed as he was causing disruption in the Jewish community. As soon as Jesus enters Simon's house suffering from leprosy, Mary served Jesus with all her might, with love, faith, courage, and devotion by pouring out her perfumed oil that she may have bought with all her fortune. Pouring perfumed oil has various meanings, but in the Bible, when the ceremony was to be made holy, oil was spilt. Furthermore, when a priest or a prophet or a king was anointed, oil was also used. Also, when welcoming guests, the host would pour oil over guests' head, and according to traditional burial, oil was spread over the body. However, Jesus was poured on not but in the glorious or festive atmosphere of king or priest coronation, but in an ordinary house in Bethany by a woman as a token of endless love and devotion towards Jesus. And after pouring, he was not met with welcome or praise, but had to face criticism by those ignorant of work of salvation. Hearing Jesus' declaration that wherever the word spreads, the Mary's act will be remembered, Judas Iscariot could not control his latent greed and stubbornness. It led to action, and he ended up selling his soul to material things. In the end, he is remembered as a person that would have been better off if he had not been born to all Christians worldwide. Today's scriptures are recollections of last periods of Jesus' staying on this earth, 2,000 years ago. Yet, Today's words are still ongoing within us 2,000 years later. On the last day of Sunday of August 2020, in us there lives chief priests and elders who are covered brilliantly only on the outside. We forget our original missions and use God according to our desires. Also, Judas Iscariot, who was very close to Jesus, but still filled with calculations and material greed, still also lives within us. However, while the religious leaders and Judas Iscariot mirrors us, we do not have to despair because within us also lives Mary, who spreads our scent of love and devotion towards God. Even more, Lord, who still waits upon us with love, is within us. In this period of coronavirus, the church is falling apart, losing scent, unable to bear fruit. There is a Korean saying, an ant hole will break down a bank. It means a small mistake or wrongdoing, if not dealt with in the beginning, will lead to great harm. Rather, what we need today is an ant hole that will break down the church, which has built a falsely brilliant wall of stubbornness, calculation, greed, and the worldly, and the world that has been devoured by materialism. The small acts of those who believe in the life of love and devotion towards Christ can break down the church and the world ruled by mammon, money. Karl Barth, notable 20th century theologian, quoted that to clasp the hands in prayer is the beginning of an uprising against the disorder of the world. All-loving and all-patient God's grace of Passover will recover us, who are living the generation of with Corona, into people of prayer, people of praise, and people of service. There is a well-known poem titled The Road Not Taken by an American poet, Robert Frost. Two roads diverge in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both. And be one traveler, long I stood, and looked down one as far as I could, to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then took the other, as just as fair, and having perhaps the better claim, because it was grassy and wanted wear, though, as for that passing there, had warned them really about the same. And both that morning equally lay in leaves no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads to unto ways, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. After taking the road less taken, sometimes with fear and with endless choices to take in the period of with Corona, later on, there will be a time where we can confess that we took that road because we are Christians and thus made choices that have made all the difference. That road is, as I previously mentioned, is to clearly look into ourselves and our consciousness, and it is to disclose our inner self, who is desperately trying to put Jesus again on the cross, just like the chief priests and the elders of people. It is to put out openly our calculations, material greed, and stubbornness, which resemble that of Judas Iscariot, that were hidden underneath. Then we realize, with all our souls, how big and fruitful the grace of our tolerating and all-waiting Lord is. When we clasp our hands together again after our soul's revelation, it will be the beginning of reviving this reckless world. In this effort to break down the diseased church and the world with a small hole, no one can be exempted from it, whether young or old, man or woman. As Jesus called upon those that were nameless, made them into disciples, and changed the course of humanity, we can do the same even without wealth, even with lack of intelligence and experience, and despite being young. This is possible because God called upon us as the chosen people, priests like the king in the holy kingdom as his people. Priests with the authority of a king should live with the responsibility and sense of obligation worthy of a priest. The Lord that has called us as the chosen people, priests like a king in the holy kingdom, will take care of us so that we can live the life of responsibility and obligation worthy of a priest. After Sunday schools have turned to online services, unless I have other appointments, every 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I have come to sing hymn number 365, halting all other things that I was in the course of doing. Are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You've no other such a friend or brother. Do the tears flow down your cheeks unbidden? Have you sins that to men's eyes are hidden? Do you fear the gathering clouds of sorrow? Are you anxious what shall be tomorrow? Are you troubled at the thought of dying? Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. When I hear stories of those that are in difficulty in their faith or life, I have come to sing this hymn more desperately. Do you find continuing life of faith difficult while participating through online methods? Are your Sunday mornings more dreadful than weekday mornings due to faithless companions or children? Do you find making your children concentrate on the service challenging because they are too young? How about 10 minutes or even 5 minutes each morning for the whole family to gather together in an arranged place at an arranged time to sing a hymn together? For those families with young children, you can sing a song from Sunday school first, then you can teach the hymns that parents sing to the children while praising together. After singing, if you read a scripture and pray together, then that becomes a family service. If you have the pressure to give sermons, there are many ways to deliver the word. You can search the scripture, read aloud in one voice, or write it down or memorize it. For those with teenagers, you can share together between family members thoughts after contemplating on the verses. You may also get to know the Bible by making quizzes and answering them in taking turns. If you tell your children to make quizzes, they will remember the experiences in Sunday schools and it will make the time fuller. If you take the time to turn off the TV and computer, put down the phone for a certain period of time each day, and to praise together, that time will revive back the online Sunday morning services to its holy place. If you find gathering the whole family together difficult, you can start alone. The Holy Spirit will be there with you. A small hole breaks down the dam. This moment that God has allowed is the very last chance for us to revive our family, our church, and even further, our nation. When the Israelites became prisoners of foreign nations and thus could no longer give sacrifices, they built synagogues and taught their children the law of God. When we face the reality of challenging today and let go of our self-centered life, we will be able to revive me and you, you and us. For that moment, God has called us to be Christians. Let us pray. Merciful God, each day we live is a continuation of instability and fear. However, even today, you walk with us, unstable and fearful, and we thank you for blessing us to live the life of disciples. Allow us the courage to drill a small hole in our inner greed, desire, in all the calculations, pride, selfishness, so that it can be brought all brought down. You personally became the Passover lamb for us, who have only wanted to enjoy the rite without obligation, and you have called upon us to live as priests like the king into the holy kingdom, and to live the life of responsibility and obligation befit to the position. Let us no longer put off contemplating on you, who have silently and firmly walked the road of the cross in order to save us. Please revive the souls in pain from Corona 19, and give us the wisdom to lead this generation wisely by looking with eyes of faith at all the changes the Korean church is going through. Let us remember that the time and chance that you have allowed is not infinite. And Lord God, be with the members of the congregation who are trying to keep the place of prayer, praise, and service in their lives, families, and workplaces. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.